Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Right. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
We are not in the same room together, so I feel kind of thrown off.
I know. It's harder to, like, focus, I feel like.
It's harder to focus. I was going to finish our whole spiel by saying what book we're doing, but my brain farted and was like, nope, I don't know what book we're doing.
I don't know.
Today we are doing Lost Girls.
We are.
Actually, Allie, that was what my brain farted on. I couldn't remember what book we were doing.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, what book?
We're doing that one. So yeah, shall we just dive in? Do you have a picture?
I'm going to actually paint this picture.
Do it.
Here's this kind of book. I have absolutely no notes. Because this is one of those where it's like, how do I do notes on this?
Wow. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah. So basically, I feel like it's just going to be a like, that was in the movie. That wasn't in the movie. This was in the movie. That wasn't in the movie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
Mm-hmm. Because Here's the biggest difference, guys. The movie is from Shannon's family's perspective. The book is from the case's perspective.
A true story.
Yeah. So halfway That's through fair. The book, I was like, shoot, I don't know how I'm taking notes.
And we were not. That's how you did it. Just
yeah. There's my picture for you.
Okay. I like it. Let's do it. Are we ready?
Yeah. I feel really, it's weird for me because I don't have the notes up. So I'm just like,
oh, all right. That's right. Okay, I guess. Let's do it. All right, so we have a trigger warning. Murder.
Whoa. Shock.
It is a true crime case, y'all.
It's a true crime case.
True crime. So, our synopsis is, determined to find her missing daughter, a desperate woman launches a personal investigation that leads police to their unsolved cases of murdered sex workers. That was pretty much the movie, because as we said, the book talks about all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of wish the movie did.
I know. It would have been nice to see all of them more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Our author was Robert Kalker. Director, Liz Garbus. Screenplay writer, Michael Weirwardy. What? Where were we? W-E-R. I know, you can't see him. W-E-R-W-I-E. We're weary.
I am weary. It actually shocked me that a guy wrote this book.
I know, me too, actually.
Mm-hmm. Not to be sexist or anything, but like, because you could tell that the person, or he, cared about the fact that it was missing sex workers, and that felt like a female perspective. So then when it clicked that I was a male writing it, I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And our audiobook reader was Sean Pratt. Did you listen? Oh, you did, because you listened with Sierra.
Yeah. That was hard. We listened on our road trip, and man, it was boring more often than not. Here's my problem with true crime. I understand telling the story from the victim's perspective, because you want to make the victim a person. Because unfortunately, sometimes people who listen to... Well, actually, I feel like people who seek out true crime always think of the victim. But, like, there are people out there who typically hear stories like this and they don't think of the victim as a victim. They just think of the story. So this was very much so painting the victims as victims. So that you got their backstory and everything. Whereas me, when I'm going into true crime... I'm already sad about the victims. You don't need to tell me about the victims. Just tell me about the story. I want the cold, hard fact. Tell me this is what they found. This is the clue that they have. This is what they did with it. You know?
Okay.
This whole, I think the last, like, 3 hours was that. The rest of it was, like, jumping around from victim to victim, starting with their childhood up until the day that they were murdered.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was very much... Let us tell you about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was not...
Not your cup of tea. I'm not
here for true crime like that. Nope. No, ma'am.
I'm trying to think. I don't like true crime, but I found it interesting, and I did like that the book... gave us background on the people.
Yeah.
And I liked, I did like that it painted us their picture and everything like that. I wish actually going back after finishing the book and realizing that Shannon, even though she's not the main character, she is the main character. And then, or Mary, but Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with the movie. I almost wish I had known that before, because I would have paid attention more to her backstory. But I guess I'm going to right now because I took notes on it. So I'll do it. Never mind. Okay. I'll learn it right now.
That's hilarious. What's funny is, so for the breaks, because we would listen to this book and then I would need a break. But we wanted podcasts. And so John found us this podcast called Something Was Wrong. Oh my gosh, I love this podcast. It's about, like, it's not about, it's, like, I guess it would still be considered true crime, but, like, the first season is about this woman who almost married this guy, and, like, she met him, fell in love with him, they were engaged in 3 months, but the dude was a fucking psychopath, and, like, was controlling her, was very much mentally abusive, and created, had a fake cell phone, or not a fake cell phone, had a second cell phone so that he could text her as some of his close friends, because he was like, these are my two closest friends. I can't remember the two names that he gave. And I think it was like Kimberly and Brandon. And basically, she would sit there and talk to them and, like, vent about things that were going on with him and, like, things like that. And then would always get responses back about, like, oh, you should do this for him or things like that.
What the heck?
Or one time she was talking to the girl, or the quotation girl, and... Yeah. The girl asked, are you gonna lose weight before your wedding? And she was like, what? Why? And she was like, because I saw the cellulite in that picture you sent earlier, and that's not a good look for your new husband.
I'd be like, excuse me?
yeah. But it's like, so it's like drama stories like that. And like the second season was about this woman who befriended this girl who... told her that she was pregnant, lost a baby, had cancer, and, like, all of this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But she basically had Munchausen's disease, but on herself.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's just these crazy stories like that. And, yeah. That was really, yeah, we got through 4 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, we liked it that much. More than the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still fun. And I finished the book still, so.
You did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. Okay. So the book came out July 2012, and the movie came out in 2020. And since then, that's an 8-year difference. And since then, the killer's been caught. So that was exciting.
I know.
Last year.
I went into it and I was like, Allie, be prepared. It's a cold case. Which is funny because I love them, because that means there's more mystery to it for me. But
the worst.
But then I was telling Sierra about it, and Sierra was like, oh, that's a Netflix documentary. And then we got like halfway through the book, and she looked at me and she's like, wait, you text Allie and said this was a cold case still? I was like, well, yeah, because they still haven't caught the guy. And she was like, no, they did. If you watch the documentary. I was like, oh, funny. Okay.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what'd you do first?
I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020.
Read it first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Initial thoughts? We kind of already said all that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, pretty much.
And why do we pick it? Oh, we didn't say at the beginning that sister-in-law, Danny K, picked it. Sorry, Danny.
This is what happens when I don't have the notes in front of me and I try.
I know. yeah, she said that she is obsessed with this case, which I can see why, because we were talking because you did not enjoy the book. Mm-hmm. And, not to give away which one you prefer, but about like how could someone like this book. And if you are so invested in a case, though, you will eat up any type of thing written about it. So I can see
beg to differ. But
really,
yeah, because when I'm invested in a case, like I said, I go into it not to feel sad about the victim. Like, I'm already sad about the victim. I want the clues for it. I want to be able to put the pieces together. I don't want to know that these...
But they did that, too. The book did that, too. Sort of.
That part was fine. The first 3/4 of the book was not fine.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. I don't know. True crime's not my cup of tea, but I thought it was interesting because I remember this happening. Do you remember this happening?
No, I don't.
Really? You know, like, it was the same time as the Craigslist killer, and everybody's freaking out about it.
What really makes me sad, Allie, is I think I've never been aware enough during any true crime thing to, like, hear about it while it's happening. Unless it's something, like, insanely huge, like, actually, I don't even have any. For some reason, I was thinking, but like, all the ones I'm trying to say, I was like too young to be aware of, like JonBenet Ramsey and things like that. But like, yeah, I've never actually been able to be aware of a case, except for there's something going on right now on the East Coast that they think is a serial killer.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this one happened East Coast. Bodies. Wow, this one happened East Coast too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Those East Coast peeps, man.
I know. But I did like in the book how the... I mean, that sounds bad. How Green River Killer was brought up several times because that's in our backyard. I was like, hey, we can walk to the Green River right now.
Did I tell you that Steph's mom's partner was friends with Gary Ridgway, aka the Green River Killer?
What? Yeah, I didn't know he was him. When did they discover who he was? Because I thought he was the Green River Killer because they didn't know who he was to name him.
Oh, it took years for them to get him. That's why he is the Green River Killer.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because he was uncatchable. But so she worked with him. And when they started, like, questioning him,
one night she needed a ride home from work. Uh-huh. And he gave her a ride home and started asking her, like, so the cops have been questioning me. Do you think I did it? And things like that. And she said that was the last time she ever let him take, like,
oh my gosh, seriously. Yeah. That's scary. That's like playing with death right there.
Yeah, well, have I told you that her mom is also friends with Ted Bundy's brother?
What the heck?
Yes, I know. I was like, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. She told me that his brother still doesn't believe that Ted did any of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sucks. He did. He's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more so the, like, imagine if Paul were to be caught out as a killer.
Be like, what the hell?
Yeah. I was just gonna say, would you be able to kind of like come to terms with that? Like, I think
Paul's freaking creepy. I'd believe it. Sorry, Paul. Love you. Oh my gosh, that's funny. All right. Well, let's keep going. So, I got some super fun facts for you. So there were literally only 5 facts. So you're getting just what was there.
5 facts.
So Sarah Paulson was originally cast as the lead role.
Ooh.
I think she would have done really good.
I was just going to say, I did not have a recast, but now that I know that, I think I would recast her.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 2, if this one wasn't obvious, the photos shown of the victims are the real life victims.
Whoa.
I was like, thanks, IMDb.
Shocked.
Number 3, on June 6, 2024, Rex Huerman, a resident of Massapequa Park on Long Island, was charged for the murders of 6 women, each in the Gigolo 4. Yep.
Gigolo?
That's what they called it. Gigolo.
Yeah, I was like,
Gigolo for you guys. That's sad that it's called the Gigolo 4.
Well, this is... Okay, here's my biggest true crime beef, man. I hate that the second anyone is trying to report a missing girl and a cop finds out they're a prostitute, they give up. They're she put herself in this position. It's like, she's still a fucking person.
Right, exactly.
Can you just do your job?
Which I think was kind of a cool aspect of this book. And I think that's why he did the background so much, to paint them as people more. Because they were prostitutes. And that's the first thought is like, well, they did this to themselves type of thing. So he gave a light on why each one ended up going in that industry. And so that's why I think it painted them more. Yeah.
Me, a true crime aficionado, because it's also not like he starts out by saying, here are the victims. It's all like, let me tell you about this girl and this girl and this girl. So if I didn't know anything about this case, I literally would have been thinking, because every single one of these girls had one of the like 6 signs of people who end up being murderers typically. Mm-hmm. And it's like abuse, bad situations growing up, you can't stay with your mom and you get taken away from your mom and go into your grandma's house and there's a new boyfriend in the picture and things like that. And I was like, okay, you're trying to give them their backgrounds, but if I hadn't been aware of the story and knew that these were the victims, I probably would have started trying to figure out which one of these girls did it.
Well, I didn't know the story and I didn't think they were murderers, but I didn't know it was a murder story when I started.
You didn't?
No, I had no idea anything about this book. I was like, what the heck is this about? And then it was like, then it said like one of the chapters finally said like someone, like they weren't seen again or something like that. I was like, oh duh, it's true crime. And so, but I did not think any of them were murderers. But I'm not a true crime person.
6 like true crime things. Yeah. 6 true crime things. Goddamn.
Murder things.
Murder traits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like literally like
if you're listening to an episode of My Favorite Murder, when they start describing the childhood of the killer, it's always like bedwetting, animal manipulation, parents beat him, parents left him with grandpa, things like that.
Like, yeah.
There were quite a few of the girls where I was like, literally, you're reading it like a rap sheet. You're reading it like this person is the murderer.
Right, right.
When I know she's the victim.
Fair. I didn't finish my last fun fact.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. That Rex, whatever his name, Huerman, also is under investigation for the 2000 death of Valerie Mack. So more than just those four.
Dang.
Yeah. Okay, number four, Amy Ryan also plays mother of a missing girl in Gone Baby Gone, which she was nominated an Academy Award for. Cool.
Oh.
This one I found was...
from The Office.
Yeah, I know. That's all I know her from. And she's actually in Goosebumps, one of the Goosebumps movies. I knew her there. I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. This one I found the most shocking. So Mary Gilbert, the mom... was stabbed to death by her 27-year-old daughter. Did you know that?
Yes, because they say it in the book.
When?
At the very end.
No, I didn't write that down.
Or maybe it wasn't the book. Maybe it was the movie. One of them tells you.
Oh, it would be the movie. Because she died in 2016 and the movie came out 2020.
Oh. Yeah.
I read that she died, but I must have missed that her freaking daughter killed her.
Yeah, well, it's because the sentence about the daughter who did it.
Yeah.
It's in her sentence, and they do it in a way where it's like, I can't remember what her name was, but it was like blank, suffered a psychotic break and ended up stabbing her mother 27 times and which ended fatally. So it like did it in a way where if you're not trying to pay attention, you wouldn't have caught it. But
yeah, I guess I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Freaking psycho. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Cause was it, I guess we'll figure it out as I go on. Which person at the end of the book was pissed off? Was it one of her daughters about how Mary was acting this whole time? Or was it one of the other victims' sisters?
It was one of her daughters, but it wasn't the one who did it.
Oh, okay. It was the other one.
It was the other one, yeah. It was the older one.
All right. All right. Well, let's get started. So, kicks off. It's letting us know it's a true story. And no one seemed to care that these girls are missing until they discovered their bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mary's this girl who had a rough childhood. No, because Mary's
Maureen's one of the victims.
Okay. So her dad and died young. Mom ended up just disappearing, like not paying attention anymore. Or she just disappeared. I think she just disappeared. The kids had to fend for themselves. And when she got older, she found this guy and she liked him. And they got married.
Oh.
And they had a kid together. No, because each victim started off with their mom.
We learned about
every mom first.
Of the victim, yeah.
And eventually she left him, but she had this other guy who she had sex with every once in a while, but didn't want to be in a relationship, so they never broke up, so that they were together forever. That's weird, but okay. So she was just 22. She was trying to do a music career, and it wasn't going anywhere, and she was frustrated, and she realized how much money she could have being a prostitute, so she decided to try it. No, so she must have been one of the victims. What the heck? I don't know.
No, I think this one got me confused because it did start with the mother and then it talked about the baby.
Okay, so then it must have been she was 22. So the 22 in music career, is that the daughter now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I don't know. Here's another one. So here's mom. Lynn.
Here's the problem. Yeah. This wasn't in the movie, so I really can't.
I know, it wasn't.
I just remember being thoroughly confused at the start of this because I was like, why the fuck are you telling me about this?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty positive.
This is how I always am with books. like when I flip from one book to another, my brain takes like 3 chapters to catch up. So the beginning of every book, I'm like, okay, try and figure it out. But eventually I figure it out. So Lynn, we're very professional for y'all. Like, you guys are expecting a stellar podcast where you learn all details and we're like, I don't know, I think this happened.
Is this the mom or the daughter? I don't know.
Is it the one that got murdered or is it the one that birthed the victim? I don't know. Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
All right. Well, here we go. New people. Lynn was this girl, and she got pregnant in high school, and her boyfriend was super excited and proposed, and they lived together for a while before they got married, and she ended up calling off the wedding because they couldn't handle living together. She's rocking life on her own, though. She's getting a little help from her mom, raising her baby, and then now we jump to baby. And this is Melissa. Melissa had a rough relationship with her mom growing up. At one point, Melissa moved in with her dad, who was in a different state. But she stole his truck. And so he shipped her back to her mom. And they kept their distance for a while. And eventually they became really good friends, though. Melissa went to school for hair. And it wasn't going as quickly as she wanted for money-wise. And she found this boyfriend. And they went to New York. And she came back saying that they were going to move there. And in the end, Lynn felt like she lost her daughter anyways, even though she worked so hard to get her back.
This does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Mm-mm. Now we're with Mary. And she has kids, and one of them was Shannon. She raised her fine, but she let her know, you got to be ready to fight back or defend yourself or just, like, deal with life. So she raised her tough. Mary never wanted to get the government involved, even when home life got hard. But her mom heard that there was a domestic violence situation going on. So she called the state and the kids were taken into foster care. Eventually, 2 years after 2 years, she was able to get her kids back. But Shannon and Mary never had a great relationship. But every once in a while, Mary would hop back in and try to remind her who's boss and that she's her mom and all this sort of stuff.
So obviously Shannon and Mary are the main characters in the movie, but you never really see them interact with each other, so you can tell that it's a strained relationship. It's just like Mary having a relationship with her daughter's answering machine, because at this point her daughter is missing.
New girl Megan was born to a mom in a rough situation, as were they all. She had I feel like that's how they all start.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She had an older brother who was not taken care of. And by the time she was born, her grandmother had fought for custody and won. Growing up, Megan was a brat. She always demanded the best things and everything, all like that. And grandma would even say, we can't afford it. But she scared grandma enough that she's like, okay, take the last of my money. Here, go get what you want.
This is the one that I literally was like, this bitch, if I didn't know, would have been the murderer. Oh.
I mm-hmm. could see that. Mm-hmm. So eventually she got pregnant and she was working with the state, but it wasn't enough. So she went home to have her baby with her mom for a couple weeks. And her mom shared everything about how her grandma took her into custody unfairly. And she ended up going back to live on her own, which really hurt her mom. But they were at least in contact now.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope. Now we have background on Amber, who was another victim. And growing up, she had a sister named Kim. And when they were younger, she was... Oh, I forgot to put this in the warning. Raped by a neighbor. And when she got a little older, her parents had health. Well, the sisters, Kim and Amber's parents, had health issues. And Kim had to deal with all of this, but couldn't afford it. Eventually, she discovered stripping and it worked really well. And she found out extra ways to get money, which is, you know, prostitute. And she ended up crying with one of her friends about Oh, Amber did. Crying about one of her friends about being raped as a kid. And her friend and her prayed together. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That does not happen in the movie.
Nope. All right. Well, Chloe is another victim. And her friend are prostitutes on Craigslist. And they talk about how they rip guys off to get money. And Chloe was going out with this guy that she really liked. But one thing led to another. And they ended up calling it off. And it told us a lot about prostitution drama.
What I think is crazy is a lot of these girls had boyfriends who knew that they were prostitutes and they just didn't care.
I know.
They were making so much money. So I was like, dude.
No way.
Especially there was that like one girl who literally like would go on a call, go meet up with this dude to have sex with him in his car and then go to another call. And I was like, dude, you don't see anything wrong with that.
I know. I'm like, no way.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well,
I mean, it does make bank. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, they were saying freaking $1,000 a night. I was like,
yeah. mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why, that is why My Favorite Murder has made a very clear point to be very like, it's sex workers, not prostitutes. Because when you say prostitutes, it kind of makes it's derogatory. And there are women who choose to be in that line of work because it does make money. I don't blame you, but I wouldn't do it.
I would not at all.
I wish I could make that kind of money though without it.
No, just give me the money. I'll just come talk to you. Can you just give me the money?
I'll come talk. Give me the money. Bye.
Oh gosh. All right. So we're learning about this kid, Alex, and he was pretty poor and he had a rough growing up. And he found out that this company hires guys to drive escorts around, and he ended up making pretty good money. But he eventually was caught one night with a girl who had coke in the car, and she was a sex worker. So he got busted. Before he got busted, he had met Shannon, and she was super smart and could hold good conversation, and really she left a mark, like he remembered her. Mm-hmm. So he left the escort driving service for a while, but then he was rock bottom with no money again. His friend told him that he could make twice as much now because new companies and new systems and pay and all this sort of stuff. And so he went back at it. And he came up with all these little lies because he had a girlfriend now about what he was doing. Eventually, though, he had to tell her the truth, and she freaked out saying, "You're going to have sex with one of them." And he's like, "No, no, no, I'm not." And then he started driving Shannon around, and they got all flirty and they had sex together. So the girlfriends always know. And so he broke up with his girlfriend. Him and Shannon started having a relationship. It was going good till one day the escort service and he got oh owner got arrested, and so the whole service had to shut down. And Shannon and Alex were arguing about their future, and it always came back to money. And eventually he got so angry he punched her in the jaw. Mm-hmm. And fractured her jaw. Mm-hmm. So sucks.
That was like, we didn't see that part happen, but the boyfriend does talk to the sister about it in front of the mom.
So Shannon eventually got a new driver, and now she's on Craigslist. And background on Michael, who's the new driver, and how he, like, all his drama with life and getting scammed to get this Chinese woman into the country and all this sort of stuff. So Michael noticed when Shannon wanted to work, but he didn't, she called this other guy, Blake. And Blake noticed that she was looking really run down, but Shannon had college plans and everything like that. But eventually she gave up on college because she's like, I make enough money doing this. Why do I need college? But Alex is starting to get like, oh my gosh, how much longer are you going to do this?
I don't remember this in the movie.
I don't think it was in the movie. We didn't really get any Shannon alive moments in the movie. That's why.
Yeah.
And other than her running.
Yeah, yeah. And they tried to sprinkle some of this story of hers in with, like, the sister and the mom and talking to the boyfriend and stuff. But yeah. It left out a huge chunk still.
Yeah. At the end of April, Alex and Shannon had a real date and said, like, they were in a actual real relationship. And Michael took Shannon to a call way the heck out there. And by the end of the call, the John had come out and said, hey, get this girl out of here. And Michael went into Shannon or went in and Shannon is freaking out, saying that they're going to kill her. And at one point, Michael thought she called 911. So he wanted to leave because, you know, he could get busted for driving sex workers around. So he but he didn't want to leave her. So he sat in the car and said, let John know that, hey, there, she's still in there. And he went in, which freaked her out. And she came out running and Michael had to chase her down, but he ended up losing her. And he said, screw it. And he just left.
Dude, that's the most frustrating part. Like, this whole part, I was like, why isn't anyone, like, stopping and asking her, like, why are you saying this stuff?
Right.
Or why are you freaking out? Instead, they're just like, oh, she's doped up on drugs. Because she's trying to make this night last longer and make him pay her more.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to really know, like, what the heck happened? That's what makes me most angry is I don't have the answer for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
So Megan, who now goes by Lexi, was getting to start doing pretty bad habits. Her boyfriend, Vibe, would sell coke and heroin. What a dumb name. Mm-hmm. And she was becoming pretty addicted to it. She also kept what she did a secret from her parents. When they found out, she's like, no, I'm just dancing. I'm not, like, nothing yucky. Vibe had hit Megan once and he apologized and said that he wants to have kids with her and marry her and all this, like, please don't leave me. I'm so sorry. She continued to do what she was doing and they so that they could get their daughter into daycare and get a house together because they can afford it when she does that.
Mm-hmm. That does not happen in the movie.
Okay. At 8 p.m., Megan and Vibe left their hotel together. So now we're getting all the details of the case, sort of. We got video footage. 8 o'clock, they leave. Later, Megan comes back alone and makes some phone calls saying that Vibe was out with friends and she was tired. Then video footage that she leaves by herself and goes down an alley, so they assume she was meeting a John. Next morning, Vibe comes back and he couldn't find her and she wasn't answering her phone, which she never does, and he didn't want to call the police because he was warranted for arrest, but he tried to get in contact with the family and they's like, she's fine. Don't worry. And time went on and grandma was trying to get custody of their daughter, but Vibe got arrested and they still don't know where Megan is.
How much do you love these episodes, Allie?
Gosh, where I just talk the whole time.
Cause that did not happen in the movie.
No, that almost part of that felt like they made it Shannon's story where Alex called the sisters and they're like, she's fine, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Did they Alex do that in the book?
Actually, no, I don't think he does.
Okay, I didn't think so either.
Oh, that's a good catch, Allie.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
look my detective, my detectiveness is on.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All right, now we're with Amber and Kim. They start hanging out with these guys, Dave and Bjorn, who they call Bear. So Dave and Bear. Kim was dating one of them. I think Dave. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amber came along because she's like, oh, I want you to marry my sister. And like, blah, 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 blah. And they all started doing heroin together and both Amber and Kim started doing sex work again. And Amber was Oh, Amber was doing about $500 worth of heroin a day. Oh my gosh, could you imagine? Bear eventually got arrested and Amber got him out because she went and did a job and had enough bail money. It was not a great situation. Amber placed an ad on Craigslist and someone hired her for $1,500 that night. And she went out but never came back. Bear is freaking out for the next few days, but no one else seems to be. And he kept telling everyone she's dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, that does not happen.
So then we have a bunch of information on the town that they live in and information about different people who live there and all these serial killers and prostitutes and everything that's going on there.
That does not happen in the movie.
Nope, we just see it.
Yeah.
So now we're with Alex and he's getting worried about Shannon. So he calls Michael because he knew that he was her driver, and Michael explained what happened, said, I don't know where she is. Alex got pissed, and he ended up going to, first he called the John. So he called the John to figure out what the heck's happening. And
that's
then he
saying John.
Huh?
I kept getting really confused. I was like, I don't remember a guy named John in this book at all.
Oh, no, like the John Doe's.
The John. I was like, oh, duh.
The Johns, yes. Then he went out to the city and to get more information, and then he filed a police report, and the police are like, go file a report from your own city. And he's like, okay. And the case was not taken seriously because they found out she was an escort. And a little while later, the dogs were searching around and found a burlap sack with a skeleton in it.
So Alex was never really the one that was like super worried about her in the movie. It was always just the family. But then rest of that happened.
Yep. So bodies have been discovered on a riverbank. A lot of stipulation about how they got there. I guess that's the same. Speculation and stipulation?
No, speculation is the one you want.
Okay. About how they got there, why they were there. Eventually it was agreed that it was a serial killer. And the bodies have been buried between a 2-year time frame. None were Shannon because none of them had a titanium jaw in them. And there was assumptions that they were all prostitutes, and several family members had been interviewed, but they were getting on with no leads. And one of the sisters had been continually called and scary messages saying, is she going to be a whore like her sister? And I'm watching her bones rot. And she's the only one in the family that knows what her sister did and all this sort of stuff. So she can't really say anything. Is that one of Shannon's sisters?
Yes.
Okay.
And this pissed me off that this doesn't happen in the movie.
I know. What the heck?
I literally, when it said this, I gasped and I looked at Sierra because I knew she had watched the documentary and was like, he did that? She was like, yeah, he literally would call the family and freaking pester them about.
Psycho.
Yeah. I was like, that's fucking ballsy. How come they never freaking traced that call?
Right.
Insane.
After one body was found, they spoke with Shannon's mom and they created a relationship. And they created a relationship, the families.
Like all the families. They started hanging out with each other.
Yep. So more and more bodies were found, but Shannon is still missing. Shannon's family keeps going to the police because it's the police aren't telling them anything. They're getting the reporters and the news is figuring out, like letting them know what's happening now. And the body count is so high now, but they're claiming only the first four are linked from the others. And Shannon's mom is sick and tired of getting nowhere. So she took to the streets and started knocking on doors herself. And she spoke on the press often about how it's been a year, or now it's been about a year, and they still haven't found her.
Yes, that happened in the movie.
That's pretty much
the movie.
The movie right there.
Yep.
So the author and a bunch of the families got together and they met for lunch and they're talking and sharing stories and basically being their own CSI by like trying to figure out Shannon, like the information they have from Shannon and what it could mean. They keep going over all the details. And Kim was giving them insights from the escort side of things, but Mary was pissed because she didn't feel like they belonged there because Shannon was still not found, so she might still be alive.
So basically this happens in the movie, but not because the author is not there. And Shannon's mom, like, I don't think she ever really, like, was pissed, like, oh, we shouldn't be here. But she was kind of like, I'm slightly different than you guys because my kid's not officially dead yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So there's this huge conspiracy going around that this is the doctor who murdered all these girls. There's this doctor in town. Mm-hmm. And Mary spoke with someone who came up with this conspiracy, and she's, like, invested in it now. And she went and confronted this guy, and he, of course, denied everything, and they didn't get much farther with him. I was really bummed when I found out that he was not the one that got convicted. I was like, I know, he was, right? So convincing.
He was. I know. I thought it was him, too. But, yeah, that it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, interviews with all the family members and friends of the escorts who died. And at one point, the police said, we don't know. Maybe it's not one killer. Maybe it's more. And this pissed off many of the family members, saying, like, they're lying to us. Like, what's going on? He also interviewed friends and family. The author interviewed friends and family members and significant others of the escorts, and about how their lives have changed since this happened.
That didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
In the movie, nope.
Nope. So now, what's the author's name? Robert? Robert, yeah. Went and interviewed the doctor, who was the suspect, but not big enough to arrest. And the doctor at first doesn't want to talk, but then he says, fine, come in, and shares a bunch of stuff. He keeps denying everything, though he's been, like, changing his stories here and there. Mm-hmm. And after the interview, a little while later, Shannon's belongings were found in the marsh behind his house. I think he still did it.
I also think he still did it.
I think it was either a joint thing or he found a way to blame someone.
I know. I'm right there with you.
All right. So.
Oh, wait. I have something I was going to say. Okay. So in the movie, mm-hmm. Basically the parts that happen with the author happen, but it's with Mary,
mm-hmm.
in the place of the author. So, like, yeah. She went and talked to the doctor.
Yes, because he's not a character in the story.
Yeah, exactly.
So they found Shannon's belongings, but they didn't find her body for a long while after. The chief of police said that she tripped, she fell into the marsh, and she died. Shannon's mom was very public on Facebook and the press about how that's BS. And as soon as her body was found, it was found across the way from the other girls, and her mom claimed it was serial killer murder. And she got a lawyer, and they started accusing the cops of sucking. And the other family members of the other girls, or it was her daughter, you said, was very upset because the cops are doing a lot, but Shannon's this would have been the other one. A family member of another girl was very upset because the cops seemed to be doing a lot with Shannon's case.
Oh,
but they didn't do as much with the other cases. And now she's pissed off. And then her daughter, this is her daughter, is pissed off at how her mom's acting, saying she's not acting like a grieving mother.
Yeah. That didn't happen. Oh, wait.
No.
Yes, it. Yeah, there was that one scene in the, like, because they all got a hotel room before they went and knocked on doors in the town where Shannon was killed. And there was a, like, freak out moment where they were like, you don't get it because Shannon could be alive still.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it wasn't quite like this.
Mm-hmm. So then we have update on the family's lives years after the case. And some are handling it better than others. And then we have details on the escort situation and how it's been around forever and it's not going away. And then there was one more nice plug about how great these girls were and their people, and they deserved better than what they got.
That does not happen in the movie.
No, we get a little like words at the end to explain life after.
Yeah, and we only get words to explain life after for Shannon's family.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know, because we got all the updates for all of them.
Yeah.
I know. What the heck? Yeah, I would have liked to know more about the other ones. Like, I think that's... I wonder why. Because, like, I was wondering at first that maybe it was because, like, Shannon's mom was, like, almost behind making, like, trying to get this movie made. But no, she died like 4 years before it was made. Yeah. So that wasn't why. So I don't know why they didn't.
I think it's because she was the one who was the reason why these girls even got found. So they wanted to follow her and tell her story. Because if you notice, it's also not about Shannon. That's why we only see Shannon when she's like, you know, getting attacked.
Yeah. I guess that's true. Because we have that scene with the restaurant where all the family talks about their people. So that's kind of as much as we get about Shannon anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. That's what I think it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, that's it.
We did it.
So,
easy peasy.
Yep. And IMDb only cast 31 people for this movie.
That's shocking.
Yeah. So we have
scenes with cops and stuff.
Right. So we have Amy Ryan as Mary Gilbert.
She did really good. But like I said, I would have liked Sarah Paulson after I found that. Yeah.
Thomason McKenzie as Sherry Gilbert. Oh my gosh, Mary and Sherry. Are we serious right now? Okay.
You know what's funny? Uh-huh. She's a Jojo Rabbit girl.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked her in this role.
Okay, good. Gabrielle Bryn. Let's try that again. Gabriel Bryan. Brayer. Oh my gosh, I just give up. Oh my gosh. Byron. B-Y-R-N-E. Byron.
Okay.
Richard Dormer. He played the chief police guy.
Oh, he did good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Lola Kirk played Kim.
She did good. Yeah.
Una Lawrence played Sarah.
Wait, is that one of the
sisters? Oh, Sarah Gilbert. Yeah, that's a sister.
Okay. She did good. I was just confused. I was like, wait, which one was that?
No. Dean Winters played... Oh, that's funny. Played Dean Bostick. I think it's he just did his own name because that's not a character in the book. But he's the Allstate guy. I thought that was so funny. I tried so hard to come up with a clever, like, little video clip for him. Like, for, I could not come up with, if you, like, what would it have been? Like, dang it, see, I did this. I sat there watching it. I was like, come on, I can be, like, come up with something. No. Should have had insurance with Allstate. Anyways, all right. Last one I got is Reed Byrne. Byrne is Peter Hackett, the doctor.
Oh, he did fine.
He played a creepy doctor that I thought was it. He was the killer.
I agree. I also thought that.
All right, you guys. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
I mean,
the story, but the theme of the movie is following mom.
Yeah, that's true.
She, like, avenges her daughter, but as she, like... tries to get justice for her daughter versus the book is like telling all about the victims.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do the characters stay true? I mean,
for what they're given, yeah.
Yeah. What do you prefer?
Movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think I do too.
It's why? Good. Because I didn't want to follow the victims. I would have rather it give me all of the true crime details, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have liked more details of each person in the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I had to do one again, I would just watch it. And
I also just really like seeing her mom, like, put up the fight to be like, hey, I want this justice for my kid. Get this justice for me. Like, this is bullshit that you guys aren't doing this.
Yeah. I don't know. It was so hard for me to, because I'm like, I had the line in my head of whoever it was that was upset with how she was acting, saying she's not acting like a grieving mother.
Mm.
And so watching it, though, she didn't seem to do as much as they said in the book, where the book, they talked about how, like, every chance she got, she was, like, trying to get in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
And she was, like, posting on social media and all this sort of stuff, which rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I get that you're trying to not be quiet because being quiet won't find your daughter or won't, like, find the killer or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I agree. Like, I mean, everybody grieves differently. But yeah. I'm like, but she didn't do that as much in the movie. But yet, I still didn't like her in the movie. And I'm wondering if that's because I just had that in my head from the book. Like, well, I wonder. That's
interesting.
I wonder if watching it first, I would have been like, oh, I feel for you. Do it. Get your daughter. Find your daughter. I don't know.
Oh, that's it. Interesting take.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And what's sad is we will never know.
We will never know. The world may never know. Would you recommend it to a friend?
The movie, yeah.
I think if they're into true crime, sure, they'd find it interesting.
Yeah. I told Sierra she got to watch it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So she's only watched the documentary. She hasn't watched the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think she would like it. Although yeah. The book did not. She was like, I don't want to watch this.
Oh, shoot.
I was like, no, it's better. I promise.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. We have a website. It's called. Yep, it's called. offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
While you're there, you can rate, subscribe, and review.
Yep. We got a nerd party coming up that I'm trying to order more bookmarks for, but it's proving to be rather difficult.
I got us some more stickers, so that's nice. Exciting.
Very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Wednesday, we do have a mini-sode for you, right?
Oh, yeah, we do. I reviewed a book.
Yes. Yep.
That'll be a fun one for you.
It will. And we'll see if we have an episode for you on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed that we do.
We do.
Who knows?
Yep. We'll try our best.
Schedule-wise, if we do things how I've got it for us to be on time, we will.
Yeah. But
will we do it? Who knows?
Oh, no. That's a long one next.
Yeah, it's a long one. I'm about to have a kitten.
Oh, wait. I know. Exciting.
Yeah. I'm too excited. I was going to say I'm about to have a kitten this weekend, so I'm not trying to. Oh, wait. No, next weekend I will.
Next weekend. So this is your last free weekend.
Mm-hmm. I know. Better yep. Fucking enjoy it.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. All right. Cool. And with that, Lost Girls went off script. That was awful. It's harder when we're not in the same room.
It really is. All right, let's do it one more time.
Okay. And with that, Lost Girls went off script. Why was it so slow?
Because that's how I normally go.
That is not. Okay, fine. I'll go slower.
Ready?
Yes.
Do it.
And with that, Lost Girls went off script. All right, you guys, it went off script. You got it. All right.
Bye.
My Atlanta.
Hilarious.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.